Free dope. Buying, selling, and giving it away. As you probably know, most dope is illegal, therefore some risks are always involved in buying and selling. Eternal vigilance and constant mobility are the passwords of survival, said Che Guevara. And nowhere do they apply more than in the world of dope. If you ever have the slightest doubt about the person with whom you're dealing, don't. Buying. In the purchasing of dope, arrests are not a problem unless you're the fall guy for a bust on the dealer. The major hazard is getting burned. Buy from a friend or a reputable dealer. If you have to do business with a stranger, be extra careful. Never front money. One of the burn artist's tricks is to take your money, tell you to wait, and split with your dough. There are various sideshow gimmicks each burn artist works. The most common is to ask you to walk with them a few blocks and then stop in front of an apartment building. He then tells you the dope is upstairs and asks you to hand over the money in advance. He explains that his partner is real uptight because they were raided once and won't let anybody in the pad. He takes your dough and disappears inside the building, out the back door, or up to the roof and into his getaway helicopter. You are left on the sidewalk with anxious eyes and that, "Can this really be happening to me?" feeling. Another burn method is to substitute oregano, parsley, or catnip for pot, camel shit for hash, saccharin or plain pills for acid. If you got burned for heroin or speed, you're better off being taken, because those are body fuck drugs that can mess you up badly. The people that deal them are total pigs and should be regarded as such. When you're buying from strangers, you have a right to sample the merchandise free, unless it's coke. Check the weight of the grass with a small pocket scale. Feel the texture and check out how well it has been cleaned of seeds and twigs. Smoke a joint that is rolled from the stuff you get. Don't accept the dealer's sample that he pulled out of his pocket. When you are buying a large amount of acid, pick a sample. You should never buy acid from a stranger, as it is too easy a burn. If you buy cocaine, bring along a black light. Only the impurities glow under its fluorescence, thus giving you an idea of the quality of the coke. Make sure it's the real thing. Sniffing coke can perforate your nasal passages, so be super moderate. Too much will kill you. A little bit goes a long way. Selling. Dealing, although dangerous, is a tax-free way of surviving, even though it borders on work. The best way to start is to save up a little bread and buy a larger quantity than you usually get. Then, deal out smaller amounts to your friends. The fewer strangers you deal with, the safer you are. The price of dope varies with the amount of stuff on the market in your area, the heat the narcs are bringing down, and the connections you have. A rough scale, say for pot, is $20 an ounce, $125 a pound, and $230 a kilo, 2.2 pounds. The price per ounce decreases depending on the amount you get. It's true you make more profit selling by the ounces, but the hassle is greater, and the more contacts you must make increases the risk. Screwing your customers will prove to be bad karma, unless you consider dying groovy, so stick to honest dealing. Never deal from your pad and avoid keeping your stash there. Get into searching out the best markets, which are generally in California, given its close proximity to good old Mexico. Kansas is a big distribution center for Mexican grass, too. You can ship the stuff, safer than carrying, via air freight anywhere in the country for about $30 a trunk. Keep the sending and receiving end looking straight. We have one friend who wears a priest's outfit to ship and receive dope. In fact, every time we see nuns or priests on the street, we assume they're outlaws just on their way to the next deal or bombing. For all we know, the church actually is nothing but a huge dope ring in drag. Anybody gotten high off communion wafers lately? When you talk about deals on the phone, be cool. Make references to theater tickets or subscriptions. Don't keep extensive notes on your activities and contacts. Use code names where you can. Never deal with two other people present. Only you and the buyer should be in the immediate vicinity. Narcs make busts in pairs, so one can be the arresting officer and the other can be a court witness. Dealing is a paradox of unloading a good amount of shit but not trying to move too fast, of making new contacts but being careful of strangers, of dealing high quality and low prices, and of being simultaneously bold and cautious. If you get nabbed, get the best lawyer who specializes in dope busts. First offenders rarely end up serving time, but it's a different story for repeaters. Know how punitive the courts are and which judges and prosecutors can be bought off. Never deal in the month before an election. For complete information on how to avoid getting busted and what to do if busted, check out The Drug Bust, listed in the appendix. Giving it away. Giving dope away can be a real mind blower. Every dealer should submit to voluntary taxation by the new nation. If you are a conscientious dealer, you should be willing and eager to give a good hunk of your stash away at special events or to groups into free distribution. You should also be willing to give bread to bus trusts set up to bail out heads unable to get up the ransom money the whiskey lush courts demand. Many groups have done huge mailings of joints to all sorts of people. A group in New York mailed 30,000 to people in the phone book on one Valentine's Day. A group in Los Angeles placed over 2,000 joints in library books and then advised kids to smoke a book during National Library Week. Be cool about even giving stuff away, since that counts as dealing in most states. John Sinclair, chairman of the White Panther Party, is serving 9.5 to 10 years for giving away 2 joints. Grow your own. Pot is a weed, and as such, grows in all climates under every kind of soil condition. We have seen acres and acres of grass growing in Kansas, Iowa, and New Jersey. If you're not located next door to a large pot field growing in the wild, maybe you would have some success in growing your own. It's well worth it to try your pot luck. The first thing is to start with a bunch of good quality seeds from grass that you really dig. Select the largest seeds and place them between 2 heavy-duty napkins or ink blotters in a pan. Soak the napkins with water until completely saturated. Cover the top of the pan or place it in a dark closet for 3 days or until a sprout about 1/2 inch long appears from most of the seeds. During this incubation period, you can prepare the seedling bed. Use a low wooden box, such as a tomato flat, and fill it with 1 inch of gravel. Fill the rest of the box with some soil mixed with a small amount of fertilizer. Moisten the soil until water seeps out the bottom of the box, then level the soil, making a flat surface. With a pencil, punch holes 2 inches apart in straight rows. You can get about 2 dozen in a tomato flat. When the incubation period is over, take those seeds that have an adequate sprout and plant 1 in each hole. The sprout goes down and the seed part should be a little above ground. Tamp the soil firmly, do not pack, around each plant as you insert the sprouts. The seedlings should remain in their boxes in a sunny window until about mid-May. They should receive enough water during this period to keep the soil moist. By the time they are ready to go into the ground, the green plants should be about 6 to 8 inches tall. If it is late winter or early spring and you have a plot of land that gets enough sun and is sheltered from nosy neighbors, you should definitely grow grass in the great outdoors. One idea is to plant sunflowers in your garden, as these grow taller than the pot plants and camouflage them from view. The best idea is to find some little-used field and plant a section of it. Prepare the land the way you would for any garden vegetable. Dig up the ground with a pitchfork or heavy-duty rake, removing rocks. Rake the plot level and punch holes in the soil about 3 inches deep and about 2 feet apart in the same way you did in the seedling boxes. Remove the young plants from the box, being careful not to disturb the roots and keeping as much soil intact as possible. Transplant each plant into one of the punched-out holes and firmly press the soil to hold it in place. When all the plants are in the ground, water the entire area. Tend them the way you would any other garden. They should reach a height of about 6 feet by the end of the summer and be ready to harvest. If you don't have access to a field, you can grow good stuff right in your own closet or garage using artificial lighting. Transplant the plants into larger wooden boxes or flower boxes. Be sure and cover the bottom of each box with a few inches of pebbles or broken pottery before you add the soil. This will ensure proper drainage. Fertilize the soil according to the instructions on the box and punch out holes in much the same way you would do if you were growing outside. After the young plants have been transplanted and watered thoroughly, you will have to rig up a lighting system. Use blue light bulbs, which are available at hardware stores, for the first 30 days. These ensure a shorter, sturdier stalk. Leave the lights on 24 hours a day and place them about a foot above the tops of the plants. If the plants begin to feel brittle or turn yellow at the edges, then the temperature is too hot. Use less illumination or raise the height of the lamp if this occurs. After the first 30 days, change to red bulbs and cut down the lighting time to 16 hours a day. After a week, reduce the time to 14 hours, and then on the third week to 12 hours. Maintain this lighting period until the plants flower. The female plants have a larger and heavier flower structure, and the males are somewhat skimpy. The female plant produces the stronger grass, and the choicest parts are the top leaves, including the flowers. Inside or outside, the plants will be best if allowed to reach maturity, although they are smokable at any point along the way. When you want to harvest the crop, wet the soil and pull out the entire plant. If you want to separate the top leaves from the rest, you can do so and make two qualities of grass. In any event, let the plants dry in the sun for 2 weeks until they are thoroughly dried out. If you want to hurry the drying process, you can do it in an oven using a very low heat for about 20 minutes. After you've completed the drying, you can cure the grass by putting the plants in plastic bags and sprinkling drops of wine, rum, or plain booze on them. This greatly increases the potency. There are two other ways that we know work to increase the potency of grass you grow or buy. One consists of digging a hole and burying a stash of grass wrapped in a plastic bag. A few months in the ground will produce a moldy grass that is far fucking out. A quick method is to get a hunk of dry ice, put it in a metal container or box with a tight lid, taping the lid airtight helps, and sprinkling the grass on top. Allow it to sit tightly covered for about 3 days until all the dry ice evaporates.